Today we will be looking at Revelation chapter 2, verses 18 to 29. And to the angel of the church in Thyatira write, "The Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire, and his feet are like burnished bronze, says this, I know your deeds, and your love and faith and service and perseverance, and that your deeds of late are greater than at first. But I have this against you, that you tolerate the woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, and she teaches and leads my bondservants astray, so that they commit acts of immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. I gave her time to repent, and she does not want to repent of her immorality. Behold, I will throw her on a bed of sickness, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of her deeds. And I will kill her children with pestilence, and all the churches will know that I am he who searches the minds and hearts, and I will give to each one of you according to your deeds. But I say to you, the rest who are in Thyatira, who do not hold this teaching, who have not known the deep things of Satan, as they call them, I place no other burden on you. Nevertheless, what you have, hold fast until I come. He who overcomes and he who keeps my deeds until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of the potter are broken to pieces. As I also have received authority from my Father, I will give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Father, we thank you for your word, and we ask you in Jesus' name that your Spirit would be our teacher, that you would unfold this word to us this morning, and that by your grace and your empowerment, we would apply these truths to our lives. And we give you all the praise and thanks in Jesus' name. Last week, we looked at the danger of compromised teaching and behavior in individuals and churches as we looked at the Lord's message to the church in Pergamum. This week, we focus on the danger of tolerance when it comes to compromised teaching and behavior. As we look at the Lord's message given to John on the island of Patmos and the vision he was having, the message to the church in Thyatira, we're going to see that compromised teaching that is tolerated over time will result in corruption in individual believers and in the church itself. We need to prayerfully deal with compromise in our lives by recognizing it, confessing it, and repenting of it, not by tolerating it. As we look at verse 18 at the beginning here, "And to the angel of the church in Thyatira write." And again, we believe that when it mentions angel here, that it is to the pastor of this church. Angel can also mean messenger, pastor of this church. This church in Thyatira. Now, Thyatira was a small city located southeast of Pergamum. They were known for their trade guilds that were tied in and associated with pagan idol worship. And membership to these trade guilds were needed for employment, economic, and social reasons. So, to belong to these trade guilds, one had to participate often in idol worship. And many people went along with it. They got to go along to get along. That was their attitude. And it posed a significant challenge and temptation for the believer who is now committed to Christ, but also has financial and social pressures on him in the city of Thyatira. We study this message today in an idolatrous society that we live in. Do not believers today face temptations of compromise so as to be successful in their careers, to be successful economically and socially? One of the reasons that people will take the mark of the beast in the time of the tribulation would so that they can get along financially and socially, so they won't be outcast. And cannot churches today be pressured to compromise in their definition of what success is and how to achieve it? Unfortunately, in many areas of the church, there's a greater dependence on the Madison Avenue approach to promotion and success than there is dependence on the Holy Spirit. As the message to John from the Lord goes on here, the second part of verse 18, it says, "The Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire and his feet are like burnished bronze, says this." So in this vision, here's what the Lord says. And again, as before we get into what he says, John is again having a vision, and in the vision he is seeing the Son of God. The Son of God is bringing this message, and John sees one who has eyes like flames of fire. And this points out the penetrating and discerning look that carries with it a message of warning and coming judgment. His feet are like burnished bronze, symbolic of irresistible strength in judgment. Brass was associated with strength and judgment in the Old Testament. The feet were associated with carrying out judgment. So here we have the penetrating eyes on the Lord. His feet are like burnished bronze. The focus here is coming judgment that will be carried out. He looks at churches today in the same way. He wants to judge compromise. He will judge compromise. He wants to purify the church of compromise. He desires always to discipline and purify his church out of love. He calls them not to tolerate compromise. Remember, it tells us in 1 Peter 4:17 that if judgment begins with the church of God, what then will be it like for the rest of the world? So God's judgment, his discipline, begins with his church so that it might be a shining beacon in a dark world. He desires to purify believers, purify the church. Now the commendation, the Lord gives a commendation here in verse 19. "I know your deeds and your love and faith and service and perseverance, and that your deeds of late are greater than at first." So he commends them for their love of the Lord and others as well as their faith in the Lord, which was producing perseverance and ever-increasing service. Yet while the Lord saw this and commended them for it, he also saw things that they needed to repent of. He wants churches today to take from his commendation and encouragement for loving, faithful, persevering, and fruitful ministry. He desires to encourage churches today. But he also wants us to surrender to his penetrating look and consider areas where we might be tolerant of compromise. You see, a church may seem to be vibrant and alive with growing ministry, but yet be tolerating compromise that's leading to corruption that will eventually affect negatively the faithful service that is going on. Oftentimes when a church breaks apart, the cracks of compromise had started long before they became obvious and were tolerated over a significant amount of time till it led to the downfall of the church or to a lack of effectiveness in its ministry. And now the Lord expresses the concern here. In verse 20 it begins, "But I have this against you, that you tolerate the woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, and she teaches and leads my bondservants astray, so that they commit acts of immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols." And so here we have a woman who is most likely a self-proclaimed prophetess, and she's teaching in a way that leads people astray. And she's associated with Jezebel, the Jezebel of the Old Testament, because of the end result of her influence would be the same as Jezebel led God's people in the Old Testament into idol worship and immoral practices that went with it. Jezebel was a Canaanite that used her husband King Ahab's influence and position to lead the nation of Israel, the northern kingdom, into heavy Baal worship and all the practices that went with it, and thus compromised their loyalty to Yahweh. This prophetess that Jesus is addressing is like Jezebel in that her teaching is influencing those in the church to some the same type of compromise of their loyalty to the Lord. And the adultery spoken of here was both physical, because in the worship of pagan idols, there was often temple prostitution, but also spiritual adultery, leading believers to be unfaithful to the Lord. There are various thoughts on what she taught. Some think it was dualism. In other words, that the spirit is good, but the flesh is evil. And God is only concerned with the spirit, so that what one does in the flesh is of no matter to God. Others think she was teaching antinomianism, as it is known today. And in this, God's grace is such that if a person doesn't have to be too concerned about sinning, as God is forgiving. And so she's teaching falsely in a way that leads people away from God. To sum it all up, she was distorting what Christian liberty was truly all about. The temptations to compromise were strong because of the practical matters involved, their financial state, their social state. And the fleshly lusts and this teaching made their fleshly lust and this teaching made it easier for people to give in, to compromise. Again, the main concern is tolerance of this teaching by the leaders. And therefore, a corrupting influence is going throughout the church. And now, the refusal to repent is going to bring judgment. Look at verse 21. I gave her time to repent, and she does not want to repent of her immorality. So, no repentance. She didn't want to repent. So following, behold, verse 22, I will throw her on a bed of sickness, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of their deeds. The judgment upon them would be sickness and hardship and or death of her and the followers because they would not repent. Not all sickness, hardship, and death is God's direct judgment. We know it would be here because Jesus said so. And this concept has been misused by many self-righteous and self-appointed prophets who will look at someone who is ill and say that's judgment. In this case, it is, but not in all cases. And now as we go to verse 23, and I will kill her children with pestilence, and all the churches will know that I am he who searches the minds and the hearts. And so the judgment of the one who sees and knows all was to provide instruction and warning to the churches not to tolerate false teaching and corruption. When judgment came on this church, it would be instructive and serve as a warning. Now the last part of verse 23, and I will give to each one of you according to your deeds. You see, this truth by the Lord would be encouraging to the faithful and should have been sobering to the tolerating and the compromising. Churches today must consider if they are tolerating false teaching, compromise, and corruption. Today, in many churches going under the name of Christian, homosexuality is accepted as an alternate lifestyle when Scripture clearly says it is sinful. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 and 10. Some denominations that were at one time faithful have now accepted homosexuality as an alternate lifestyle, even putting some in the ministry leadership as pastors. You see, when sin is called something else, that allows one to abdicate God-given responsibility. Words today like disorder, bad habit, genetic predisposition, addiction, are words given for what Scripture calls sin. And it subtly leads to tolerance, not confession and repentance. There is self-centered teaching that unwittingly embraces a core perspective of idol worship, in that I will do things in the church so that things will go well for me. There is this compromise in the church where the emphasis is on, I want to feel better, And that's the heartbeat. I want to be comfortable. I want to enjoy life rather than I want to know God better. Each must look to themselves and consider any sin that we are tolerating. Are we twisting a scripture to justify some lifestyle? Are we teaching ourselves that it's okay to continue on in a behavior that scripture clearly speaks against? And now Jesus gave a charge to this church as we look at verses 24 and 25. Look at verse 24. He gives directives to the faithful remnant who was not embracing or tolerating this false teaching. But I say to you, the rest who are in Thyatira, who do not hold to this teaching, who have not known the deep things of Satan, as they call them, I place no other burden on you. So he says to those who are faithful, he's putting no other burden on them. He's commending them. And when he says here, the deep things of Satan, it points out, Jesus is pointing out, the source of the false teaching, which was claimed to be of God, but it was actually from Satan. This compromised teaching was from Satan. Those who were doing what they wanted in the flesh because they didn't believe it affected their spirit were being deceived by the spiritual enemy. And so, to those faithful, he says, I put no other burden on you, those who do not hold to this teaching. So there was that faithful remnant in the church of Thyatira. They stayed away from the deep things of Satan, the deception. They weren't deceived into going after material gain as opposed to spiritual maturity. Self-centered teaching concerning God is the essence of idol worship that the spiritual enemy tries to direct us to. In verse 25, it says, nevertheless, what you have, hold fast until I come. Jesus addressing the faithful, he's saying, hold fast to what you have. What he was commending them for, to hold fast to faithfulness, resist the evil until he comes. And Jesus says, until I come. When Jesus come, that would mean judgment on the woman and the followers of that woman. We are taught and encouraged by this to hold on to what the Lord commends us for. Faithfulness, seeking Him in His Word, sharing the gospel, discipling others, walking in love, walking in wisdom, walking in truth. We need to hold on to these things, but not tolerate any compromise which leads to corruption, but confess and repent it. The lack of tolerance may very well bring on persecution. This lack of tolerance may very well bring on faithful churches today and has brought on persecution. Taking a stand against homosexuality. Taking a stand against what society is saying is okay, but not what Scripture is saying is a sin. And again, in talking about homosexuality, it's not we are to love the homosexuality, but hate the sin. We must guard against compromise. And then in the last part of this passage of Scripture, in verses 26 to 29, we have the promised blessing from the Lord. Verse 26, he who overcomes and he who keeps my deeds until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of the potter are broken to pieces, as I also have received authority from my Father. Jesus makes two promised blessings here, and he makes them to those who overcome and remain faithful. They will rule and reign with the Lord, having his authority in the millennial kingdom, that thousand-year reign of earth, on earth, that Christ will have when he returns after the time of the tribulation. That those who are faithful, who do not tolerate the compromise, who hold fast to faithfulness, will rule and reign with him. That is one of the promised blessings laid out there in verses 26 and verse 27. And now, as we go to verse 28, it says, "And I will give him the morning star." The Lord says, "I will give him the morning star." The morning star here, symbolic of sharing in the glory of Christ as one who is faithful and abides in him eternally. So the promised blessings have to do with the reward that those who are faithful and who do not compromise and who stand against corruption, who don't tolerate corruption, promised blessings in the coming millennial kingdom, ruling and reigning with the Lord, and sharing in the glory of Christ, which is what the morning star is pointing to here. And then finally, verse 29. "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Now the idea here is he who has an ear, not just hears audibly, but understands what is said. Let him hear or understand what the Spirit is saying to the churches. And understanding applies also applying the truths that have been spoken, applying them in the life of the individual and the individual in the life in the church. Unlike the first three messages of the Lord to the first three churches we looked at, this exhortation occurs after the promises, which is the pattern we'll see in the last three messages. And so Jesus sends a message to a particular church in a particular place at a particular time, the church of Thyatira. But the truths in this message are truths for the churches today, for all the churches of the church age. The church age ending, beginning at the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit came to fill believers, and the church age ending at the time of the rapture, when Jesus comes before the start of the tribulation. The messages to these churches, and the messages to these churches relevant for the churches today. And for the church here at Fellowship Chapel, and for those of you in the churches that you are in who hear this message or are listening to this message, my prayer is that the Lord will show us areas of compromise in our individual lives, areas of compromise that he is calling us to confess. And confess means to recognize the compromise and not call it something else, not call it a bad habit, genetic predisposition, that it's in our genes. But confessing means to agree with God that what it is a sin. That what he says is a sin, we say is a sin. And we agree with God that we have sinned. And then repent. Repent of that sin. Turn away from it. And not tolerate this sin, so that we become corrupted. In 1 John 1:9, John wrote, "If we confess our sins to him," meaning confess our sins to the Lord, agree with the Lord that what we've done is sin. "If we confess our sin to him, he is faithful to his promises to forgive us our sin. He is faithful and righteous," meaning that he's righteous. He can forgive us our sin because Christ paid the penalty for sin. He just doesn't overlook sin. There was a penalty paid for it. He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He takes away, he cleanses us from the unrighteousness of sin, that we might have a new beginning in him. And so it's so vitally important that we deal with corruption in ourselves. And as each individual in the church deals with corruption in themselves through confession and repentance and allowing the Lord to cleanse them. The compromise in the church will be dealt with, and that church can shine forth for Christ, be a testimony for Christ, be used by the Lord to draw people to himself. And so the message to the church at Thyatira. Next week, we're going to look at the next message that Christ has for the next church we're going to be talking about. And it's his message to the church at Sardis. And so we'll pick up on that next week. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth of your word. We thank you that your word is sharper than a double-edged sword. It penetrates, Lord, into us. It cleanses us. It convicts us. It cleanses us. Lord, we ask that you would convict us of compromise and that we might have the grace to turn from it and repent. Purify our churches, Lord, that we might shine forth for you and that the gospel might go forth from us into the world in an uncompromising way. And we give you all the praise and thanks for everything. In Jesus' name, amen.